We want to welcome everyone for joining us today. We're also going on Facebook Live, so in case you know of people who can't get on, they'll be able to view it later or now if they need to. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Shannon Judlicka. I'm the principal at the middle school. And today I have Kyla Spruce. She's with me here too, and she's going to talk about the medical side a little bit and answer any questions that you might have there. First of all, I want to tell you how excited we are. The staff got together today for the first time since March in person, and we're super excited to all be together under the same roof as a family, and we cannot wait. I can't wait, they can't wait to have your kiddos here on campus and to see them again, because I know it's been a while. Also, school's gonna look a little different. It's still gonna be school, and we still have the same goals, and we still have the same purpose. We're just gonna have to, it's just gonna look a little different. We're gonna have to go about it a little differently than we have in the past. And I know that many people are already doing those things in their homes, and when you go to the grocery store, and when you go out in public. So a lot of you have already trained your children on wearing the mask and washing your hands, but we are gonna go over that with them as well. The most important thing that we're gonna rely on the parents for, and the teachers are gonna be doing it as well. The teachers have to scan a QR code every morning before they come in the building, stating that they are symptom-free, they're ready to go to school, and they don't have anything going on preventing them from teaching your children. And we're gonna ask you to do the same with your kids. And that's why I invited Kyla here today. She's gonna kind of talk about how we're gonna depend on you at home to do self-checks of your students before you send them to school.
Yeah. My name is Kyla Spruce. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the lead nurse here at Meadville Independent School District, but we also have an RN on every campus. So while you may not see my face here at the middle school, you will see another RN. Her name is Chandra Longoria. So we have a medical team in place to oversee this whole post-pandemic situation. It's definitely been new. It's definitely been challenging. There is no cookie cutter answer to any specific scenario, but we will treat every scenario as it comes. And we're going to do as much as we can in the forefront to do even more than what's expected from the DSHS, the TEA, UIL, CDC, et cetera. So what does a self-screening look like? You guys are fourth grade parents. I'm also a fourth grade parent. So I'm sitting on your side also as a parent listening to Ms. Judlicka and what's going to happen. I'm just as concerned for my daughter that will be attending face-to-face here at Meadville Middle School. We already have policies in place as a district to not send your student to school sick. 24 hours fever free is a number one. We really encourage hand washing from kindergarten all the way up, but we know that kids have germs. If you really look at germs, you can look at adaptive immunity, you can look at herd immunity, you can look at importance of vaccinations or whatever data you want to compile, and you can see that we've already had germs and viruses that have lived among us for a long time. What's new here is COVID-19. So with this pandemic, with the epidemic that we just came through, we're now in epidemic, it was pandemic. So when we're in this place, what we're asking you to do is go back to basics. You already should already screen your child for school. And so that would look like this. If they've had a fever in the last 24 hours, fever in NISD is 100 degrees or greater, 100.0. If they have had 100.0 or greater in the last 24 hours, they are to be excluded from school. That means fever free without the use of fever reducing medicine. So please, please, please do not give your kid Tylenol or ibuprofen in the morning to mask the fever. The fever is a body's way of telling us something's going on. So that's symptom number one. If they've lost taste or smell, ask them, hey, what does this smell like? Give them some orange juice. See if they can answer the question. If they've lost taste or smell, if they've had a new onset cough, it's just a cough that won't stop. It's outside of their normal allergies. You guys are parents, grandparents, caregivers of these kids. You know what's new and you know what's allergy related. If they have a new onset cough, if they've had difficulty breathing or shortness of breath, those are medical emergencies. Difficulty breathing and shortness of breath is definitely not one of those symptoms that you would then send to school. You want to address those symptoms from home immediately. If they have a new onset headache or a migraine that has not gone away, that's a symptom that would require to have a medical physician look at. Chills, body aches, sore throat, again, part of your symptom screening. Shaking or exaggerated shivering, significant muscle pain or ache, active vomit, active diarrhea. Those are symptoms that require that student be excluded from school, 24 hours fever free, 24 hours diarrhea free, 24 hours vomit free. And then if they've got those other symptoms that I listed, I would strongly encourage you to make an appointment and have them seen by a physician. We have a protocol in place. If your child comes to school and is identified to have those symptoms, they will be assessed by the nurse, and the nurse will then contact you guys for the next steps as to what that's gonna look like. There's three criteria that we'll get into, and we'll do it on a case-by-case basis. One of the criteria is 24 hours fever-free without the use of fever-reducing meds. One of the criteria is symptoms have improved, and one of the criteria is if you have presented with symptoms and you decide not to go get tested for COVID-19, you'll be excluded from school for 10 days. That's a quarantine thing. So we'll be tracking all of those things within this school and within any school in Meadville ISD. And again, case by case scenario, we are very aware. Every single nurse is educated in the sense that those symptoms may or may not be COVID-19. Obviously, if your child presents with asthma or allergies or an ear infection that caused a fever, there are exceptions when you go through the if-then funnels all the way down where they would be welcomed back to school because they had an alternative diagnosis and they were treated for that medical condition. So, is that good?
All right. If you'll have any questions, you can always tell them your email.
So we've developed an epidemic oversight team here in Meadville. So if you've got any questions specifically pertaining to COVID-19, you would email the EOT. If someone will put it in the chat, that'd be awesome. The EOT team at MeadvilleISD.com. The epidemic oversight team. I didn't make that. Someone else did. The EOT team at MeadvilleISD.com. If you have a question about symptoms specific, or obviously you have a child just like before with any kind of emergency alert or special health condition, you can email Chandra Longoria. She's LongoriaC@MeadvilleISD.com. LongoriaC@MeadvilleISD.com.
All right.
Well, thanks, Ms. Crobot.
That should help a lot. Now I'm going to talk about the two different versions of education that you have the option of choosing for your child. You should have already called and registered, and we know that registration has been extremely difficult. We have several people here answering the phone to answer your questions and to help you get that done. If you have not registered your child, you need to call tomorrow between 8 and 4 and visit with one of the great secretaries here on campus and let them help you get that done. So we know through that registration process, you get to select whether or not your child will come face-to-face and sit in the classroom, or if your child will learn virtually via the internet. And so that way we have a good count on who's doing what. I'm gonna talk about face-to-face instruction first. To begin with, all students in our district are gonna be required to wear a mask in all grades, especially during the transition periods, coming into the building, going out of the building. Here at the middle school, we're gonna have them on the classroom. I've given the classroom teachers the decision-making skills on when to take the mask breaks and when not to. So they're gonna be working with your students and teaching them when is appropriate and when it's not. And there's gonna be a couple of changes to the dress code. This has nothing to do with COVID-19. I just wanted to make sure everyone knows that fourth graders will be allowed to wear shorts this year due to the fact that they're not able to dress out during PE. And so we felt that it was kind of not nice to have them running their mile on the track in 100 degree weather without the option to change. So we're going to allow them to wear school appropriate shorts to school. And also we have, as a district, decided that there will be no holes in pants on campus this year. So if you've already bought them, you could put a patch on them, do something fun with it, but they're not gonna be allowed to wear holy pants to school. Students will also be allowed to carry water bottles. We wanna make sure that students are allowed to have water whenever they need it. And so If they want to bring a clear water bottle, they can bring that and they can refill it. All of our water fountains will be open and they will be able to refill that water bottle as needed. All right, we're going to ask that you don't drop off your students before 7 o'clock, and that's not a new rule. That's a rule that's been, but don't drop them off before 7. If they do arrive here at school between 7 and 7:30, they will be in a holding area. And of course, we'll have them spaced out. At 7:30, they will have the option to eat breakfast in the cafeteria, or they will go straight to their homeroom class. And their teachers are going to be there at 7:30 to welcome them into their classroom. We will have Mr. Valentine and I will be putting lines down the middle of the hallways this week, so we can encourage students to walk down the right side of the hallway, and that'll help keep them from transitioning close together, and that will encourage them to stay on their side. In the fourth and fifth grades, for the first few weeks, the students will remain in their homeroom classes all day, and the teachers will be making the transitions. They will be making the rotations. Simply because less transition is less transmission. And until we can teach the students how to appropriately move through the hall and use the restroom and make sure that they're doing all of those things in a safe manner, we're gonna keep them in the same room, and the teachers are gonna be doing the rotating while they're doing the teaching. Because of electives, sixth grade will transition as normal, because each student kind of has their own schedule, and it'd be too hard to keep them in the same room. However, we will implement some delayed transition times to minimize the people in the hallway all at one time, and the teachers will be cleaning the desks between each class period to disinfect. We have added tables inside and outside the cafeteria so that students can still eat in the cafeteria at their normal lunchtime, and we can still space them out appropriately. Teachers will be giving students mask breaks when appropriate. Dismissal, we will have to do a little differently. It may take a little bit longer to make sure all of the students are socially distanced while we are putting them into your car or putting them on the school bus. Bus riders will be kept in the classrooms and dismissed when the bus arrives. Okay, so that's pretty much the face-to-face. Now I'm going to go over the virtual class. If you've chosen the virtual learning for your students, it's gonna be a lot different than it was in the spring, folks. In the spring, we kind of were flying the plane while we were building it in the air because we did not have any idea. And now we're a lot better at it, and so it's gonna look a lot different. Students are gonna have a schedule to follow, just like if they were on campus. They will be encouraged to log in during their scheduled class time, and their teacher will be giving their online live lesson to them, and they will be able to interact with the students at that time. The lesson will be recorded and then posted to their Google Classroom at the conclusion of the class, so that if the student can't log on during that scheduled time, they can access it later if needed. Students will be required to log on to each class every day and complete their assignment and submit it when it's due. If a student does not log in and actively participate in the class, they will be counted absent for that class period. All virtual students have until midnight each day to complete the daily lesson and submit it through Google Classroom to be counted present. Students will be able to message their teacher. However, it will work best if they can interact live and participate while their teacher is focusing on that lesson. Parents are encouraged to make decisions one way or the other, either virtual or face-to-face, to where it affects their student for 6 weeks at a time. We don't feel it's beneficial for students to bounce back and forth. But if you do start your student virtually, when they come back to school, they will be in the same place as the students who have been here. So the teachers are gonna really work with your student to make sure that happens. There are gonna be some requirements though. The district is working on providing Chromebooks for students that are online learning. However, it'd probably be best to have a printer as well. Just at home, it'll be best to have a printer because a lot of the teachers prepare interactive notebooks and assignments that students may have to print out at some point. All right, that covers virtual. I wanted to say a few things about Meet the Teacher. Meet the Teacher will be virtual as well. Hopefully by Friday of this week, we will have registration completed. I know our secretaries, it sounds like a telethon in our front office. As much as the phone's been ringing today, they've been trying to help people get logged on and that process completed. So hopefully by Friday, we'll be close to being done and we'll know how many virtual and how many face-to-face students we have so we can finish the scheduling process. We're hoping to have schedules by next Monday to give the teachers. And I've kind of challenged the teachers to come up with their own Meet the Teacher. And so each homeroom, and they're all sitting in here, they're so excited about meeting all of you. They'll be contacting you at some point at the beginning of next week to let you know what their Meet the Teacher is going to look like and how they're going to operate it. I think they'll also be contacting you about school supplies. I know we usually have a drop-off for school supplies on Meet the Teacher night, and that's going to be super hard, folks, for us to do. So even if your student can only bring some supplies at a time, we encourage them to only be able to only carry what they can. But they can get it to the teacher as soon as they can, instead of having a drop-off here. Some of the teachers may elect to have a drop-off for their school supplies, but they're going to be contacting you next week to let you know. Also, the school supplies that if you purchase them online in the boxes through the PTA, we're going to be getting in touch with you for that too. Those have arrived and they are going to be dispersed. All right. Oh, one thing I did forget. Virtual learners, if you signed up for virtual learning online, you will be required to be online for at least 4 hours a day. That's a requirement from the TEA. So we are going to have to document that you've been online with your teachers and completed your assignments. All right, I think that's it.
Okay, so question is about how to sign up online. The answer would be just call. Mm-hmm. They can step you through it.
And we have some computers set up here at the school too in our computer lab if you would like to come up and the secretaries can help you.
Another question is, will those going face-to-face also be able to see the recording later?
Yes. As soon as the class period's over, that virtual teacher is going to post that lesson to their Google Classroom so you can view it later and do the assignment. You just have to have it completed by midnight that night to get counted present for that day.
I want to encourage you guys too, the parents that are watching. We've spent several weeks meeting with every single team within the district. This morning we spent 4 hours with the morning half and 4 hours again with the afternoon half, going over educating people on virus, spreading germs, how to protect ourselves, how to protect others. I can promise you that it's going to be a safe place. There are germs that do live everywhere. However, with all of the precautions that we're taking, with all of the things that we've implemented, I'm really excited to see how much learning has happened and how everyone has joined together to make it the safest place for the kids. So I know that Ms. Jedlicka said it already, but the staff are so excited to finally get those babies back in their classroom where their heart just explodes to serve those kids. And so I just want to encourage you, no situation is going to be cookie cutter, but if there's a need, we're going to try to meet it the best we can. If you have a concern, let us know, send an email, set up a phone conference. I can promise you that your teacher would be more than willing to talk to you as the parent for their students that they love just as much as you do, right? Yeah, they're all smiling at me behind their masks.
All right, one of the questions somebody asked is, are the virtual learners going to need to turn in all of their work when they return? And the answer to that's going to be no. It's going to need to be turned in daily to the teacher via the computer. And they're going to set that all up for you through Google Classroom. So that there's going to be no paper packets passed out. And there's not going to be any need for them to bring their work when they return. It should all be turned in at the time it's due.
Let me see. Yeah. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to go up in the chat just a little bit. When can students receive Chromebooks?
Yes, those have been ordered, but they haven't arrived yet. As soon as they arrive, we will let you know.
What is the communication process should a student or staff test positive? That's a great question. So, and there's a lot of things that go along with that. So we have to respect people's medical HIPAA laws, basically. So people's right to privacy. However, we've also trained in the district, every single nurse can do contact tracing. So we will contact trace and we will let whoever is within close contact of said individual know. It's not going to be a secret. It's not, I mean, obviously, I mean, we all live on social media. Things get out quickly, but I can tell you that we're going to cross our T's and dot our I's and take the most aggressive action when and if that happens. So there's a lot of communication processes. It's not just one cookie cutter, but it will happen. Are basketball shorts acceptable?
As long as they go past your fingertips.
If a child gets sick, can they do virtual learning instead of being absent?
The answer to that is we've actually considered that. And as long as they're absent for an extended period of time, it wouldn't make sense if your kid is absent just today to get logged into that virtual classroom and complete the work. But if your student has to be out for say 5 days or 10 days, yes, we will take care of getting them transitioned over so they can still do their work.
If a child gets sick, can they do virtually? How will we know if we complete 4 hours a day? Is there a timer?
You're going to know. If you log on and interact in every core subject with your teacher and you complete the assignment, we're going to consider that as your time given. We'll be able to tell whether you've spent the right amount of time or if you're just getting on and submitting the work.
If the kid needs further help, are the teachers going to schedule a personal Zoom?
Okay, your teacher, I'm assuming they're talking about virtual. Mm-hmm. Your teacher is your teacher. And so they're going to do what they need to do to make sure that you're successful. And they will meet with you just like they would meet with a student in the classroom. And if you need them, they'll be on during that class period for your student to ask questions in person. And I'm going to go back to the basketball shorts real quick. Make sure that those basketball shorts have a lining in them and they don't have holes. Because some of them do.
When virtual learners come back, will they need to turn in all hard copies? We already talked about that.
No.
Are the virtual teachers the same as the in-person teacher?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're all teachers here on campus. They're all certified in that grade level. And they have actually volunteered to give up a class period just to teach the virtual learners. So if your teacher, and I'm just going to use an example, has Ms. Jedlicka for language arts virtually, when they come back to campus, they will still have her in that classroom during that scheduled time. We wanted to make it as synchronous as possible for your student.
Mr. Schweiger asks, with the time lag on COVID test, how will it be determined on safe return? So we follow DSHS, CDC, TEA. TEA and UIL are basically more school side. DSHS and CDC are who we follow for the medical side. So there's a 14-day incubation period, most likely spreading of a virus, of a live virus, 2 days prior to symptom, and then for 10 days post-symptom. That's based on data that the CDC gives us from studying the virus thus far. So we track symptoms, obviously. If they have a positive test, they have that 10 days because that's what the CDC puts out. If you're in close contact with a positive test, direct close contact, and close contact has a strict definition. All of those things are things that we track. So all of those things come directly from DSHS and CDC. If anything, Needville's policy is even tighter than what they give us. So there is no wider range, it's only tighter. We expect our kids at a certain standard and we expect our staff at a certain standard, and usually our standards are higher. So that's where we got those days from, but we follow exactly what CDC and DSHS do. We work hand in hand with Dr. Kay Reynolds and Dr. Minter. We also have a physician on our epidemic oversight team. So we're much, there's a lot of communication that happens, and there's a lot of communication that happens that people will never know about, and then some that people will be included on. So it's just a lot of communication, but that's where that comes from. Why are we not following surrounding schools and starting online only? Because we're not. Because we're not them.
And I think that we need to go back to school. And our district leaders feel that we need to go back to school. And we're giving everyone the option. We're not stating that they all have to come to the building. And we're not stating that they have to be online. We're giving the parents the option to do what they're comfortable with.
What is the protocol for kids going to their homeroom class if they have never been to that classroom, i.e. fourth grade?
Yeah, fourth grade, we feel terrible. We weren't able to give them a tour of the building. We did a virtual tour. but there are going to be so many staff members here to help them when they come on the 24th that we will make sure that they're comfortable and they get taken to the right place.
What will constitute a school closing? One child positive, two. There's really no cookie cutter situation for anything. There is directive from the CDC. So an outbreak is defined by the CDC as 10% of your enrolled population that is excused absence with the exact same symptom, 10%. So that's stuff that we monitor, that we track, and that CDC and NISD or DSHS, our county health department, will work hand in hand every single day, multiple times a day, communicating about exactly that.
What is the mask policy? If your kid forgets their mask, what if it breaks while at school?
Okay, I was going to say that and I totally forgot. Guys, this is elementary school for the most part. Please send your child with an extra mask. Somebody used the example this morning in training that once, you know, sometimes these kids, when they sneeze, they get on the inside of their mask and they don't want to have to wear that for the whole day. So please make sure that you send an extra one. If they need one while they're here, we will have them.
If it breaks, same thing. We have sure. Some. When they switch back to face-to-face, will they have the same teacher?
Absolutely. Yes, there's a couple of situations where that's not possible, but for 98% of our students, yes, they will keep the same teacher.
Will there be Chromebooks for all kids or online only?
We actually ordered enough Chromebooks. Our school board voted to order enough Chromebooks for each kid to have one on every campus in the district. So every student will have a Chromebook, and the ones that go virtual will have it checked out to them. And then when they come back, it'll go back into the student, the teacher set that's in the classroom. Each teacher will have a set, and each student will have one. We'll be one-to-one here in a couple weeks.
Where do fourth graders have to go on the first day of school to be taken to their homeroom?
And as soon as they come in the building, we're going to escort them to the cafeteria. And at that point, we will direct them in the right direction. We will have all hands on deck. All of the teachers will be here early and stay late for a couple of weeks to make sure all the students are taken to where they need to go and safely.
If a family chooses to do virtual and then wants to switch at 6 weeks, is there a possibility that the classroom will be full and they would have to stay virtual learning?
No, we have a class space for everyone here on campus. So whenever they're ready to come back, and we hope that that's soon, they'll have a space.
Does the 10% of students only include the campus they are on, example, sick with COVID?
It's district-wide. If we had 10% on one campus, there'd be a lot more alarms going off, but it is district-wide.
Will you be able to provide a hotspot for virtual learning if having issues with Wi-Fi issues at home?
Right now, we're not prepared to give one to everyone who needs one. If there's a problem, we've opened up the parking lot here. If you want to come and download their work to the computer, the Wi-Fi does work in the parking lot. Several churches in the area have also offered to help with the Wi-Fi in their building if you want to work off of that. And we're trying to cross these bridges as soon as we can. But as of right now, just getting the computers out is a huge feat. As you know, every district in Texas, probably in the United States, are trying to find Chromebooks right now. So luckily we have ordered those, and they're due to be delivered anytime in the next week.
Will lunch lines be the same, or is there a new process for that? Can a child bring lunch from home?
Oh, absolutely. A child can bring lunch from home. We are asking, though, that you don't have any outside deliveries. So we're going to have to cut back on the birthday celebrations and the bringing in the pizzas and the cupcakes for now, just to keep everyone safe. You can bring your lunch from home, and we will run the lines as socially distant as possible in the cafeteria, and we have plenty of seating in the cafeteria to be able to space out the students.
I know the cafeteria is also doing box lunch style.
Yes, it's going to be box lunch, so they'll get to pick what they want in that box, but they'll go through and just pick up a box.
Is Zoom the platform to be used for parent-teacher conference?
That's a good question. We've kind of gone back and forth with Zoom and Google Meets. So your teacher will be able to specify that with you at the time of the conference.
What will the buses look like?
That's a good question too. In the district letter online, it states that we're encouraging parents to drop their kids off and pick them up when necessary. But the buses will be disinfected every day. They said this morning that as students get on the bus, they will be given hand sanitizer and they will be required to wear a mask. In several occasions, they're going to fill the bus from the back to the front so that the students don't have to walk past everyone as they're getting on the bus. And they're going to do the best job that they can to make sure that they're socially distant and safe.
Do we need to buy school supplies for online learning?
And that's going to be up to you. The teacher will be able to tell you. I know a lot of the teachers right now that are planning for online learning are doing exactly what they're doing in their classroom online with their students. So yes, you are going to need some supplies. You're going to need supplies to do your interactive notebooks. You're probably going to need some map colors and things to be able to complete your assignment with your teacher.
What will happen if you need to have an ARD meeting?
Okay, our ARD meetings, since we're not having any visitors, and for those of you who don't know, those are for special ed students to discuss their plan of education. Since we're not having any outside visitors on campus at this time, most of our ARDs at the beginning of the year are going to be virtual via the Zoom, kind of like we did them in the spring.
Can they wear any kind of mask?
That's a good question. Yes, you can wear a mask. You can wear
a neck gaiter.
Some of our teachers here have the face shields on. Students are welcome to wear the face shields as well. Please just remember to make sure it's school appropriate and you emphasize with your student that the mask they wear to school needs to be the mask they come home in. We don't want them to, trade Superman for Batman during the day or something like that. So please emphasize that they need to keep their own mask. And as long as it's school appropriate, it's not offensive or distracting.
Kelly says, thank you for all the hard work and planning on getting our kids back to the classroom, !
Oh, we're excited. Yeah. I wish we could all be in the classroom. We know there's extenuating circumstances and it's a hard decision. It's a hard decision for the teachers sitting in the room actually too, when trying to decide about their own children, but they know we're doing everything we can to protect your child.
This is more for the elementary, that's in parentheses. What if you choose virtual, but your child has speech during school?
Okay, they will provide their service via Zoom or Google Classroom as well.
Traffic is always an issue. How is that going to be managed if you're encouraging parent drop off and pick up?
Okay, we're gonna have to manage the best that we can. I know traffic is an issue and usually it takes a couple of weeks and then it figures itself out. It works itself out. So it's going to take a while, especially since we can't have all the students standing together waiting on their parents. It's going to take a little bit of time. So I told my teachers today they need to be extremely flexible and what else? Perspective and have grace with people. So we're going to encourage the parents to kind of have grace with us and give us some time to figure it out.
If riding the bus, is wearing a regular face mask enough or should they also wear a shield?
I think you answer that.
I think a mask is plenty. The more you want to wear, I mean, I'm not discouraging anything, but I think a mask is plenty. You have to remember that you spread an infection in a droplet of an infected individual. So at the very beginning of this Zoom, we talked about symptomatic people. If your child is sick or has an uncontrollable cough or has new onset headache or body aches, fever, chills, those people should not be on the bus. They should not be in our school either. So there's a lot of weight on an honor system to self-assess and self-screen your children at home. Now on this end of it, all of the staff are held to the exact same standard. In fact, they have to QR code in saying that they did it. So there's a checks and balance. High school students at the upper levels, they're also using QR code systems. Some of you guys might have older siblings that are in athletics. They've been doing this successfully all summer. We had in-person summer school all summer without a hitch. We've had athletics they're still going without a hitch. So there's a huge weight on self-screening and please do not send your kid to school sick. That has been a policy for decades, not just right now. It's just of utmost importance right now that we checks and balance that every single day. because truthfully, if you're asymptomatic, not having symptoms, it's likely that you are not shedding live virus. It doesn't mean that you don't have it. It just means that you're not shedding live virus. And again, that gets into more details. You can email the EOT team at NeedvilleISD.com if you want more questions or have more questions about that. But on the bus, a mask should be okay. And when they get to school, that's why in transitional times, entering and exiting the building, they're wearing a mask. Less transmission comes from less transitions. And so we're trying to minimize that spread as much as possible while still serving the needs of students. Students still have needs. They still have lunch needs, breakfast and lunch. There's so many of our kids that that's the meals that they get. So breakfast and lunch come from school. They still need that. They need social interaction. They need to learn, you know? And so we still have to serve all of those needs as well. And we're gonna do it, like we've said, to the absolute best of our ability. For bus riders, will there be one student to each seat?
I know they're gonna try to do that as often as possible, but that's why we're requiring your students to wear a mask. So there may be more than one student, but it would be like sitting in the cafeteria. You need to prepare to have a mask on the school bus, but the drivers are gonna do whatever they can to minimize that.
Will the kids have access to computer labs?
Actually, we're hoping that each child will have their own assigned laptop, Chromebook, by the time school starts. So the labs will be there, but they'll be able to access their Chromebook at school too.
So to clarify a bit more, if students are face-to-face, can they switch from online and or vice versa?
Yes, we're encouraging them to do that at the grading cycle cutoff though. So if you start virtually, we're asking that you remain virtual until the end of the 6 weeks or vice versa.
For sixth graders, will you be able to email them their schedule?
And we're working on the logistics of schedules. We'll be able to communicate that with the parents via Facebook as soon as we have it available.
I may have missed it, but will the school do temperature checks at arrival on campus? All of the teachers are self-checking and are required to state what their temperature, if it's greater than 100. Students are done on a symptomatic basis. So when they arrive, just like the mom of a student, like no one knows my daughter, like I know my daughter, except for her teacher. Because by the end of the year, that teacher has spent from 8 to 4 with them 5 days a week throughout the time. So the nurses know when Miss Ordineau comes in and says, this little one's just not herself. We take that very seriously. So when they look different, they know. That's the beauty of being a small district. They get to know your kids on a level like a parent. That's why so many teachers, I think, cried through March, April, and May because they just missed them so badly. And that's why I think they're so excited to get them back. So we're not doing a temperature check on every single student that walks through the door. However, we take symptoms very seriously and we'll continue to monitor them like we always have. The kids will wear a mask at entry and exit of the building and through all of transitions, but the teachers will determine mask breaks through the day.
It'll mainly determine the size of the classes. If they're able to socially distance in the class, they will be able to allow for those mask breaks. But I know a lot of them have plans that include giving your children breaks from the mask.
You said they can have water bottles. You mentioned clear. Is clear the only type they can have, or any kind of water bottle is okay, like an Arctic?
Yeah, we encourage the clear water bottles so that we know that it's water. Some students want to bring 4 and 5 Dr. Peppers poured into their cup all day long, and that's not the best thing for them. So the reason why I say clear, that way we know what it is, and it's just better for the student.
Do the buses have AC for those kids that have to ride the bus home? It can get really hot. Can I answer that?
Yes, I don't know.
So the answer to that is some buses do and some buses don't. But regardless, the CDC and the DSHS are saying that we need to open all windows to allow outside air to flow in. So they might be running with AC, but the windows will be open regardless.
All right, this is going to be the last question, just so we can wrap it up. And if y'all do have questions, I'm going to give you my email address and you can shoot me an email.
I'm going to read 2 things, but only one's a question.
Okay.
Will there be weekly updates, communication with parents regarding how in-school learning is developing as far as numbers on attending and health stats?
That's not a bad question. In fact, I just told some staff members today that I'm considering actually doing a Google Classroom for myself where I can invite parents and keep them aware of some things that are going on. I've always done a weekly newsletter for my staff, and I can sure post that in that place as well, so that you know from day to day, week to week, what's going on in the school. So I'm working on that part.
Lots of these are coming, but this is for all the staff that's in here. It says, thank you, NMS leaders, for taking the time to communicate this very important information. We appreciate all that you do for our kids. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay, I'd like to tell my staff thank you. They're all here. They're very supportive, and they just can't wait. If you could see their faces, I would turn it around, but you wouldn't be able to see what I see because they're all wearing masks, and you have to read their eyes. But they can't wait to get your kid. And so even if you've chosen the virtual route just because of the uncertainty, we all understand that. But they can't wait for your kid to come back to school. And they can't wait for those to come sit in the classroom and fill up those chairs. It's true to their heart. They love what they do. And I couldn't ask for a better team here at the middle school. So thank y'all for being here today. And parents, thank you too. Thank you for joining us. Please spread the word that we can't wait for school to start and that it's going to be so safe for your student. Oh, my email. I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. My email is Jedlicka, J-E-D as in dog, L-I-C-K-A-S at needvilleisd.com. So if you have any questions, call the school or send me an email and we'll get those answered as soon as we can. Thank you so much.